Let's take our Bibles and turn with me to the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 1. Philippians 1. Philippians 1. I'd like to read verses 1 to 8. Philippians chapter 1. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you, all making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace, for God is my record. How greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. The Lord had spoken to the Apostle Paul in a vision, and he caused the Apostle to see in that vision a man of Macedonia. And in that vision, the man, dressed in the outfit, clothing of a Macedonian, said, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." Acts 16, verse 9. And Scripture says that the Apostle Paul concluded that the Lord had called him and Barnabas to go to Macedonia and preach the gospel unto them. That this is a marvel of God's grace, that God would send a preacher to a place to preach the gospel. For God raises up an assembly of believers that preach the glorious gospel of God's free grace. That's a miracle. Now, there was a city, the chief city, in the country of Macedonia. It was called Philippi. That was the chief place, and it was where the Lord was pleased to bless the word. That's where Lydia was from, the one that was a seller of purple. You remember she was gone down to they were having a prayer meeting down on a riverbank, and Paul was preaching the gospel, and the scripture says that the Lord opened her heart, and she attended to the words that were spoken by the Apostle Paul. So tender, you know, God gave her a heart to believe. And there was a Philippian jailer. Remember that? And Paul and Silas was in that Philippian jailer, and the Lord sent an earthquake, and that Philippian jailer came in. God saved him, called him out of darkness, and raised up a church in Philippi. And that this assembly was a assembly that was dearly loved by Paul. He was so thankful for those. He had a heart for these that the Lord had raised up. And Paul the Apostle, who was Saul of Tarsus, who formerly was a despiser of those that loved the Lord, who loved the gospel of God's free grace. And he hated them. He hated them. Before God stopped him on the road to Damascus, and here was this—he was just a religious, arrogant, self-centered, bragging Pharisee. Is what he was. He said, "Before I was converted," he said, "I kept the law. I was without blame before the law. You know, I was blameless." I'm thinking, you know what? Is that not the most arrogant thing? Every believer knows this. I've never done one good thing in my life of myself. If there's any good in me, it's because it's the goodness of God. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the Spirit of Him who is life in me. What Paul says, there dwelleth no good thing. No good thing. And now, here's this former arrogant, self-centered, self-reliant Pharisee, and God saved him and sent him to preach, called him to be a preacher, and sent him to this place to admonish, to encourage these in the faith. Now, there's four things. I've entitled this Salvation by Grace. And there's four things that's recorded in these first eight verses concerning God's mercy to show grace and compassion to these people, and also Paul's love for them. Four things. Here's my 4 points. I'll go ahead and give them to you so you'll know when I'm done. Number one, the reason for his love. The reason for Paul's love. Number two, the one he thanks for the love that he had for those at Philippi. Number three, the confidence of his love. And number four, the pledge of his love. Here's the first point. The reason for his love. Why did he love them? He loved them. He loved these people at Philippi. Here's the reason. Here's the reason for his love. Verse 1 and 2. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. The ones to whom Paul wrote were saints. They were saints in Christ Jesus. They were set apart. That word saint, sanctified. It means set apart. It means holy. Paul was writing to a group of people that Almighty God had set apart for himself. Wasn't one ounce of difference in them and anybody else. Out of the same lump, God chose to show mercy to some. Same lump of dirt, same lump of clay. Does the potter have the right out of the same lump, Romans 9, to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? Does God have the right to do that? He said, all souls are mine. These were saints in Christ Jesus. They were chosen in Christ. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the sanctified, those made holy in Christ Jesus. Those who had their guilt paid for by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. They had no guilt to answer for. That they were sinners? Absolutely. Paul the Apostle said, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He said, of whom I'm chief. You'll not ever find a believer that says that, I'm not a sinner. Oh, I beg your pardon. If we say we have no sin, we make God a liar. But I said they had no sin to answer for. He'd put it away. He'd paid their debt. Cast that as far as the east is from the west. Behind his back. Cast it into the sea. Where is that? It's wherever God says it is. But he said, I'm not going to charge you with it. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Charge him with it. Oh, we are. We're right now, we're sinners, saved by the grace of God. But those that have been robed in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the obedience, His obedience, my obedience, and He's given me a heart and sense to know it and to love it. I love that it's all His. I love to brag on Him. Let me brag on Him, not on myself. I don't have anything good to say about myself. I know just enough about myself. Here's the reason for Paul's love. These were God's people. They were God's people. Predestinated, he said, unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. They were brethren. This reason he loved them. They're God's people, saints, not because of their own worthiness of obedience, but totally according to the merit and the work and the grace and the compassion of Almighty God to them. God had shown mercy to them. He says, grace unto you. God's grace unto you. God's grace unto you. Because the Father chose to show mercy. And he said, in peace, grace be unto you, and peace, which is the effect of God's grace. Peace before God. Peace with each other. Peace in my heart. The Lord's Spirit bears witness with my spirit that I'm a son of God. Why? Because he's given me a heart to know that salvation is all of the Lord. I believe God. Not as I would desire to. Not as I wish I would. And not as I shall. But I believe God. Here's the second thing. The one he thanks for that love. Verse 3 to 5. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Upon every mention of you. I thank my God. Every time God gives me a heart to mention you. He confirms this in this next verse. Always in every prayer of mine for you all making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. The reason he loved them because they're God's people. The one he thanks for loving them. The one he thanks for giving him a love for them is the Lord. I thank my God. I thank God that God's given me a heart to pray for you. 2 Thessalonians 2:13. We're bound. We're indebted. We owe. I owe to the grace of God first. But I'm bound to give thanks always to God for you, beloved of the Lord. Because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Paul's basis of love was that there were God's people. The one he thanked was the Lord for giving him a heart to want to pray for him. Thankful that he loved him. He made us brethren. We are his body. We have fellowship with him and with each other. I love being with God's people. I love being with God's people. Stan and Sherry, I wouldn't embarrass them for anything. I love them dearly. Came up, visited with us this weekend. And we were talking last night on front porch. I told them, I said, you know, isn't it wonderful that we just sit around and just have a heart to want to honor him, praise him, thank the Lord for our fellowship and for you. I thank God for you. I thank God that Almighty God would send me to Katy Baptist Church. I'm not sufficient for this calling. I know that. But I'm so thankful that he gave me a heart for you, and I'm thankful for your love for me. I thank God for you. Pray that God Almighty knit our hearts together in love for each other and to him. I thank my God always, every prayer of mine for you, making requests with joy. Making requests for joy. For what? For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. From the first day that God caused our paths to cross. There's some of God's people I don't know. I've never met them. But I'm going to tell you this, whoever they are, I love them. Who knows, Lord may give me opportunity to cross paths with them, meet them. But I tell you this, whenever you meet a believer, they talk just like a believer. They give all the honor and glory and praise unto God, unto the Lord for them. Thirdly, here's the confidence of Paul's love. Verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Here's what I have confidence in. I've got some confidence in the Lord. And I'm confident of this. The Lord that has given our fellowship, me and you and me and the other churches, I'm confident of this thing. What the Lord has begun, He's going to keep us. All that know Him, I look forward to spend eternity with you. We're going to be according to Scriptures. We're going to cast our crowns before Him. What crown is that? It's the crown of the righteousness that the Lord Jesus Christ has given. We're going to say this, all honor and glory and praise. These people talk about I'm earning all these crowns and it gets so high I don't even know if I can balance them anymore. I'm going to tell you something. He is our crown. He is our crown of righteousness. Salvation's of the Lord. Here's the confidence. Confident in Him. I'm confident that He which hath begun a good work. Ain't nothing good but God. God is good. It was the Lord that regenerated them. That's Paul said, I thank God for you. God Almighty had given them a new heart. Only God can do that. Philippians 2:13, for it's God which worketh in you both to will and do of His good pleasure. I don't have any room there. God worked in you. We look around and behold each other as saints. God's people, saints of God, those that know Him, those that believe His gospel, those that believe Christ, believe salvation's of the Lord. And we say this, if the Lord had not done this, we wouldn't. He hath begun a good work. He hath begun a good work. He saved us. He saved us. Scripture says, He who has saved us and called us. He has saved us. He's saving us right now. And He shall save us in the day of His power. Saved daily, confident. And Paul, secondly, concerning that confidence, he said, I'm confident that the Lord is going to finish what He started. He which hath begun a good work in you. There's a new man. I'm going to tell you something. There's a new creature. A believer has a new man imparted to him, and that new man does not sin. There's a new man. Now, I'm going to tell you something, and somebody might say, well, you're just arrogant. No, I believe God. But you're looking at a man standing right here, and I've got an old man in me that has not changed one ounce, hadn't changed one bit. There's an old man in me, that which is flesh, and it's never gotten better and never will get better. There's an old man in me that still will not bow to the Lordship of Christ. He will not. But there's a new man created in righteousness. And that new man that is created by God Almighty in power that has been imparted, I'm going to give you a new heart. There's a new man standing right here that does not sin. There's a new man standing right here that does not sin. And I'm going to tell you something. I don't see him. I don't see him. I don't have any reason whatsoever to look at myself and say, I don't see anything good in me. I have no reason to say that. I have no reason to say that I see something good in me is what I meant to say. I have no reason to say that except that God Almighty says it so. That which is born of God sinneth not. It believes God. And everything that I see in me is mixed with sin. I believe Him. But I'm thinking to myself, Lord, if You did not say it was so, I could never see that. I'd never see that. Being confident, Paul says, being confident of this very thing. He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense of the confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of the same grace that the Lord showed me. When he says my grace, he's saying the same grace God showed me showed you. Not Paul's grace, God's grace. He said it's proper for me to think this of you. And then lastly, here's the pledge of Paul's love. That is to say, what is my love for you based upon? What's it based on? Here it is, verse 8. God is my record. How greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. This is the confirmation that I give you. I give you my word. I give you my word. Making my pledge only according to his mercy to me and his mercy to you. This is my pledge. God's my record. God is my record. That's the confidence. That's the hope. That's the pledge that I give unto you, that I love you. God is my record. This is my oath of confidence for Christ's sake. That's what he's saying. For Christ's sake, I love you. God is my record. Here's where I find the strength for my affection for you. God is my record. God is my witness. God is my witness. Yesterday morning we met together and had our men's class, and we were looking at the scripture when Moses met with the Lord in the burning bush, and what that burning bush set forth. And Moses was going to approach the bush, and the Lord told him, he said, come not hither. He said, take your shoes off. He said, for the place that you're standing is holy ground. Not because there was anything inherently holy of the dirt, but the presence of God made that place holy because of God's presence. And I told the men, this is the confidence that we have when the Lord reveals that he himself is present. And I know he's omnipresent. I know that. There is no place that God is not. He's a full. He filleth all in and all. He's a fullness. But when he said, I've made my presence known, he said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, I'm in the midst of you. When the church, when God's people assemble in this building, the Lord has said, I'm in the midst of you. I'm in the midst of you. This right here is holy ground where we are this morning. You let this assembly leave this place, and this is an empty building. We have no confidence that God Almighty blesses with his presence like he does when God's people are here. It is immensely blessed when God's people assemble themselves together. I'm in the midst. He said, when I send you through the water, he said, when you pass through the waters of chastisement, of trials, for God's people, that because of God's love for them, he said, I'll be with you. I'll be with you. Whenever we pass through trials and tribulations, what you're suffering right now, that's holy ground to a believer. That's holy ground because of God's revealed presence. And as I said, I know he's omnipresent, but there's something special. We have the confidence of God's word that's so. Paul says, this is my confidence. God is my witness. This is the confidence that I have. He loved the people. They were God's people. It made them one in him. Giving them a heart. He was confident that God Almighty, what God had started, God was going to finish. And this is his pledge. This is his oath. God's my witness. I love you. Lord, bless these words to our heart for Christ's sake. Amen.